Parents strongly caution, the following programs are intended for mature audiences over the age of 18. These programs may contain some material that many parents would not find suitable for children and may include intense violence, sexual situations, coarse language, and suggestive dialogue.
Greetings, everybody. This is Danny Phil, and you're listening to WRRZ, The Wizard, where the music is louder, darker, and deliciously wicked!
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Spellbound Sessions. I'm your host, Sid, and I'm hanging out with Melly D, Rad Ray Trail, and Black Marine. We know Black Marine, she's in ours, but Rad Ray Trail and Melly D are part of MX the American. And welcome to the show, all.
Hi, what's up?
You. What's up? What's up?
How are you guys doing?
We're doing awesome, and I was just thinking about the it says this has got adult content in it. I didn't know if I should hang up or not.
Well, we never know exactly what comes out of my mouth.
I'll pray for you, Ray.
Yeah,
he needs a little Jesus, doesn't he?
Yeah, I had some Jesus, yeah. Man. I need it. Bring them on, man.
Yeah. How are y'all doing this on this fine grand afternoon?
Awesome.
Well, I'll tell you. Go ahead, ladies first. Three Musketeers. Go ahead, Marina.
Well, I'm here in Vienna, Austria. The weather is very nice, and everything is awesome.
Melly D.
I am here. I'm at a house party that is getting ready to kick off pre-game show for the Spurs and New York Knicks tonight. It's a house full of New York fans in there right now. We're getting ready to grill and have a good time. I am the only Spur who do have a championship ring. Oh. 2014. Yes, I was a part of the organization. And after that, I went back into the with the band, and then I've been working with Ray.
he fell off.
And now Black Marine. So we're good to go. Good to go.
Go Knicks.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Rad Ray Terrell here with MX the American with Melly D. We're both lead vocalists in the band, and we're singing with Black Marine on this new album right here. I think Marina wants to kind of lead us off on this a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Does Marina, or does Marina want a question from Sid?
Yeah, there you go.
Do you want a question by me, Marine?
Whatever you feel comfortable.
All right. Here we go then.
I'm down.
Let's start the interview up, and we'll get it off. How did this band first come together? How did this whole collaboration that you guys are doing come together?
Well, we have a mutual friend, Jeff Tucker. So last year I heard Ray's interview in his show, and it was in September last year, and I like the music and I like the interview. And I was very curious, and then I loved the sound, and then I just approached Ray and sent him an email and asked him for a possible collaboration for one song that I wanted to do with them. And from that on, actually everything happened so spontaneous. And I think the most beautiful thing is that we didn't even plan the album. We just worked on one song in December. and that was released in January, Hair Killer. And here we are.
Well, that's kind of cool that you was brave enough to reach out to other artists like that to see if anybody wants to collaborate. I wouldn't have the balls to do it.
I usually don't do this. Usually other artists would ask me like to play piano on some stuff or to record my voice, lyrics. But this was the first time for me that I heard the band, that I feel creatively comfortable. And then I asked Ray, and then I met Melvin. And I must say, I'm so blessed that I have them in my life. They're like so great people. And of course, extraordinary musicians. But they are like really, really wonderful people. And I think it's the most important thing is, of course, music. But then if people are really great, then that makes it everything flow so easy, and we are all happy, and we feel very comfortable with each other.
One of my favorite parts of this collaboration is her, and I'm this is kind of like, I don't know, maybe a guilty pleasure, but every time I hear Melly D throw some raps, throw some lines out, it just brings me to a different place. Like, it brings me back into like the old school rap days with that how his voice and how he raps. It's like I love, it's like a secret little guilty pleasure of mine. Every song that I've been hearing, when I hear Melly D rap, it's like that brings me back somewhere. I know it's kind of weird, in a guy wearing a cowboy hat, and some of his favorite parts is him hearing Melly D rap.
It's all, hey, there ain't nothing wrong with that. Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Well, Melly D's inspired me so much that I wore my cowboy hat today, in hopes that Melly D was going to wear his cowboy hat, and I'm sadly left alone.
No, I knew I was coming to Atlanta, so I left the cowboy hat at my spot, but I wear my veteran's cap, so the cops won't pull me over when I'm smoking.
If you guys had to describe the sound that you guys are coming up with these songs, how would you describe it? What would be the name of the music that you guys are coming up with? I'm just curious if you guys were able to nail down what your guys' sound is. Or are you just like, you know what, we just don't really care, we're just making music?
No, I think Melly D had a very good, he came up with a very good name for the style.
What is it, Mel?
Yeah, it's called, we're trying to incorporate a new genre with our sound, and it's called the New Gothic Level.
Yes.
I dig that.
That's right.
The New Gothic Level.
Yes.
I dig the collaboration. I didn't know there was even a collaboration until probably about 2 months ago, and somehow I stumbled across one of the songs. And the radio station's only been around since about February, so I've been just kind of digging around on social media, finding bands, finding people to add to the radio station as music wise, and then I somehow stumbled across what you guys were doing. I was like, fuck, what is this? In a good way. You know what I mean? It's like, fuck, is this? I'm not, I was something I wasn't expecting to hear in these old earlobes of mine.
Me and Mel wouldn't either. when we started this whole thing, Marina sent this ensemble of this song Hair Killer at first back in, I don't know, where's that, about October or something like that, and it's just an instrumental thing, and me and Mel got it and we're listening to it because she had just contacted me about a month before and saying that she's got this song she wanted to collaborate on coming in December. She says, I'm gonna get back a hold of it in December, and I'm like, okay, you know, I'm like, all right, December, that's like 4 months from now. Maybe, hopefully we hear back from her, but you don't never know. You know, a lot of people say things like that, but I kind of felt that she would. And about a month later, she set that ensemble. Me and Mel heard it, and we was like, damn, what are we going to do with this? You know?
It was quite different.
It's nothing like what we got here now. I mean, the name and stuff like that. But then we thought about it because me and Mel were in the studio, you know, working on a lot of other stuff right then. And we were already burnt from the studio. We'd have been in all year long working on a lot of songs, probably about 25 songs. And then Marina sent, I get this email from her, and it's a fucking beautiful damn piano piece, man. And I'm like, listen, damn, I got with Mel. I said, man, you got to hear this, man.
I don't want to put nothing over this.
Yeah, that's what I said, Mel, because Mel loves piano and stuff too. And it's like, what the hell? I'm like, damn, listen to this. This is not, Mel goes, that ain't nothing like what we heard before, is it? And I'm like, no, man. And
I'm such a huge fan. With the piano and a harp are probably my two favorite musical instruments.
Yes. Probably all three of ours.
It would be hard for impressed, really hard for me to want to come up with something over with or with her to compliment her piano playing, because the piano playing is absolutely just on par.
Yeah. Well, when we got in the studio to work on that song, Hair Killer, I had to think about that, because it was like, I was like, you know, it's just this piece and she's singing, and I'm thinking, now I'm going to have to put guitars on this, and what am I going to have to do here to do this? And me and Mel thought about it, and then I jumped in and started working on some guitar parts with it. And then Dave Malazzi, who's drumming on this, he's an engineer also at Rex Tracks in Atlanta, or Suwanee, Georgia. He laid some drums on it. And from there, I laid she had the song pretty much arranged all the way, you know, but we had to just move a few little odds and ends on the song. And then Mel came in and laid a part, just blowed us away, man. And Marina had no idea that Mel was going to be singing on it right then. She wasn't quite sure who all, it was two of us, you know, singing in MX.
What's cool about it is that when Mel E.D. comes in and does his rap, it just surprises you. You're not expecting someone to come in and spit some lines out like that.
I know. That's like when we sent it to her, we said to send it to Mel. Girl, you think she's going to like it? I'm like, man, we sent it to her. Tell her, Marina, you know what you thought.
It was amazing because I didn't expect. And the thing is that we were working on each song. We didn't think about, like, when you before us, like, which style. We just, every artist brought their own identity and originality, and everyone have their own musical freedom. And it's just beautiful. I mean, when they sent me back Hair Killer, I was like, oh my God, there is rap in it. I love rap. But I don't like every rap. I like this, like, kind of old style
school rap
Melvin doing, and I didn't expect that. And when I heard that, I'm like, oh my God, this is like, I was brought back to my childhood. Like, I was like really loving that, and I just really loved how piano fits so great with Melvin and his amazing lyrics, and it's just so awesome. And I mean, when I heard the song, I called them, everyone in the studio, and they said, who are you guys? This is awesome. And I was really shockingly surprised. Like, I knew that it's going to be good, because 20 years ago, I worked with my own punk band. But then I had experience, but I knew it's going to be good. But I didn't expect, like to have this, like, wow, like, this is, like, something really powerful. And from then on, we just continued.
We were just hoping that she even liked rap. We had no idea. We just know that she's a doctor. She's a doctor in music, you know, and she's this badass pianist, you know, and that sings and all killer. And that's what me and Melvin knew. Yeah, we had no idea. She plays like 80 instruments and stuff like that. She likes rap. Well, she likes punk.
You guys. How challenging? I mean, that had been a huge challenge for you guys to really step out of your comfort zone and try to do something like this. I mean, bravo to you guys.
One thing is we all do organic music. We don't do AI or nothing like that. Okay, so this right here, we just fit right up the alley for what we do. With her, she's the same way we are, and everything we know is from the heart, you know, and really, and you know, like I said, when we went to send that first song to her, we was like, me and Mel just looked at each other, and it's like, well, here it goes. She's just going to like it or tell us to F off, you know.
That's right.
So we sent it to her, and then she called, and it was all on from that point, and that led into her writing the next song, and then the next song.
My first words would have been to you, it would have probably been fuck off. but in a good way, fuck off. Yeah. Like, I can't believe you guys made something like this.
Yeah, I hear you.
He says F off, I'm going to say fuck off.
Yeah.
He's all proper. I'm not.
He's proper.
I'm proper.
Yeah.
What's Marina? What are some of the artists or bands had the biggest influence you growing up?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, I grew up with piano, so I listened like classical music, but then, you know, like I had like this privilege to have from my parents, like to get influenced by classical music, but then by rock music. Because of them, they loved each different styles. And then I listened like everything, but maybe a first time when I was really small, I heard like Rachmaninoff piano concerto. I think it was number 3. And with this piano solo and the symphony orchestra, I just knew as a child that I'm going to be a composer. And then I just love music as it is. And then
what band was it that really created this image of Black Marine? There had to have been someone that you listened to was like, all right, this is how I'm going to, this is the persona I'm going to build, this Black Marine persona that you have. Where did that stem from? Who influenced that?
Well, actually, at that time, I played with a punk band, and I was introduced to Primus, to Motorhead, to all of these amazing bands. Personally, I love David Bowie. So I don't know. I mean, there are like so many different bands, like metal, hardcore bands, because at that time, also, my pseudonym was created Black Marine, because at that time, guys would say, like, oh, you're wearing black and you're Marine. And then somehow it fitted at that time, like Black Marine. But I can't say that I had like one influence. Like it's, I can't say that because I can't remember that there was only one. I think it was more like a development thing, like going through a classical education by listening rock and metal and punk and hardcore music. And then I think somehow all of this diversity actually created me, because I always wanted to do something new. That's why I struggled at the time at the university, like you need to compose like this, and I wanted to compose that. So the thing is that I always wanted to create, to sound like, you know, like in school people, they would like to play piano like someone famous pianist, and I always played my own way. I never wanted to be, I wanted to have my own originality, you know? And I was at the time, when I was at the university back then, like I was really struggling because there were like those rules, right? But I can't say there was like one artist, but I actually love everything what was different, like Bjork, like Diamanda Galas, like, you know, like all of these very, very unique artists like Bowie, you know. So maybe there is like influence of like everyone that I heard in my life.
I mean, yeah, that's fair, really. I mean, it doesn't really necessarily have to be one certain band. I guess it can be a bunch that just influenced who you are as an artist today. I guess that's valid. That's a valid answer.
Yeah, well, I can't say like one person. It's
hard. I'm putting you on the spot. It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it's okay. I love unpredictable questions. I love questions. And I love to think to give you some answer, because it challenges me to think, like, what did I listen 20 years ago? So, yeah, I mean, I think I always loved this kind of like heavy metal sound, you know, and that's how I learned to play a bass guitar. And I can't play really drums, but I can have like I can hold the beat. Back then, a friend showed me how to, but it's only like one, two, three thing. But yeah, I mean, yeah, just.
That's cool. That's cool. Thank you for sharing. Mm-hmm.
But she scores like 80 different instruments, dude. You know,
she's being humble.
I also compose for different kind of like ensembles. Like the last 7 years, I work for Composer Concordance Ensemble in New York City, and I composed like I have maybe 7-8 premieres in season, and then they're like different instruments. That's why Ray said like I'm. Because I'm writing for different instruments, for different people, and then they're playing. So that's why before when we were talking, I would tell them, like, guys, I'm writing scores right now. So that's why.
Yeah.
Melody, I'm sorry, go ahead, Ray.
No, then now she's writing scores for us.
Uh-oh.
Well, we're with her.
Somebody's going to score.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to
score. Go ahead, my man.
Close your ears, Marina. Close your ears, Marina.
Melody, I got to ask you, man, who was some of your influences that influenced your style of rap?
Well, like you say, my style of rap came back from the old school, of course. I listen to a lot of Kool Moe Dee, a lot of LL, a lot of Grandmaster Flash, a lot of Rakim. You know some of the greater rappers.
Godfathers, the Godfathers.
You know, so and I was a DJ, so I, you know, DJ Kool Herc, a lot of the DJs that were in the rap groups, Grandmaster D from Houdini, you know, which I would become friends with later. But they would all say the same thing while I was DJing, because I had such a good DJ voice, that you should try rapping. And I was like, well, no, I don't want to do the rap thing. But at the time, I was already producing rap beats. But I never just sat and started rapping on them. I used to rap to myself all the time until I moved to Atlanta in the 80s. And I had a chance to do some stuff for an album with Deion Sanders. Remember his album that came out?
Oh yeah, I do.
A friend of mine that how was later hooked up to the band with. He's passed away, Michael Parrish, rest in peace. But I end up writing a song for him called Prime Time, and then once I was in the studio with that back in 89, that went ahead and led me on into, you know, using those vocals, you know, strongly into hip-hop.
I dig it, man. All the old school godfathers of hip-hop back in the day. I can hear those influences when you rap.
Mel was in like a boy band, dude. And he rapped his ass off back then, man. He was. I'm not going to say a boy band, but kind of a young man band. I mean,
the music was changing. We were trying to do the crossover thing, and you know, so that's why I got.
We all have those moments, bro. Don't worry, we all have those moments.
Some killer sounding stuff, man. I've heard some just recently. I was like, damn.
I was never in a boy band.
Yeah,
but I feel you. I did have to go see a boy band with New Kids on the Block once.
I was a boy in a band.
what was some of your influences, Ray?
I'd say Hendrix, Robin Trower, you know, Ozzy, definitely Black Sabbath, Deep Purple, Led Zeppelin, you know, when I was really young. And then as I, you know, all these new alternative bands that's come out, you know, from all the Seattle Surge, all those bands. Well, I get a lot of influence from all them, you know, Screaming Trees, from Mudhoney, from Soundgarden, you know, a lot of Alice in Chains, definitely, you know. Oh, I mean, even though, I mean, they're around the same age, you know, but they're it's it got a lot of influence from a lot of bands. I mean, sometimes I just, you know, gather stuff from little small parts and pieces of things I hear from just about any kind of band, you know, but my earlier bands were the ones I just named right there pretty much, you know.
I can dig it. All good bands. Where did this infinity or this love affair of Hats come in?
Man, I've always loved Hats, man.
I asked because the only reason why I asked is because I have been confronted with my demons here recently. Yeah. It's my love affair of Hats as well. So I'm just curious, that was it a lifelong thing, or has it just been something the older we've gotten, we just like to wear hats? I don't know, but man, I got a hell of a collection of hats now, and I got a bad habit.
Mel's got more of a collection than me. Yeah, Mel's got more of a collection than me.
I was about to say, it's not a bad habit, man. Through the years, I've been collective as well. And, you know, it's just, you feel like your gear, your headgear, you know, it wasn't like when we was in the military and we had to wear it, you know, but when you get out or you saw the experience and styles and getting into, you know, the life and environment, economics, you know, you develop your style along with, you know, being an artist, you try on different things and you feel different ways. And you
it's just experimenting want something that feels what feels good. Yeah. And it's
being a feels good. Right.
It's like
being a pimp for so long, man. Yeah, being a pimp for so long, he had to switch many hats, man. You know,
pimping ain't easy.
It ain't easy, baby. No.
But it must be paying good too.
Yeah,
business is not slow.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, Marina. What comes first, the music or the lyrics for you?
Oh, well, that's a very tough one. So when I was like a child, I would like singing and playing the piano, but then I was continuing all the composing, music, and then I somehow on the way I stopped singing. But then I think during lockdown, I came back. But it's not easy to answer that, because sometimes I would have music and then I need to come up with lyrics, and then I need to adapt lyrics to already the musical rhythm that I have. So sometimes if I'm lucky, it would be simultaneous. Like I have it in several songs, like for Call Me Anytime, I had it like straight, like the lyrics and the music, like just like this. I was like singing and playing the piano, and it was already there, like in 5 minutes. This doesn't happen very often, sadly, but at least it happens. So I can say sometimes it's like it comes naturally, like both at the same time. It would be music, and then I would come up with the lyrics. So
I bet it would be a little bit more challenging for a solo artist and composer versus a band, where a band can sit around and jam together and kind of get a beat going, rhythm going, and guitar riff going, and then the lyrics can sometimes just manifest out of the music itself. And I'd imagine that it'd probably be a lot harder when you're a composer and everything is being created from scratch, and a lot of time gathering both inspirations at the same time probably doesn't come around very often. Sometimes I would assume that you would have to focus on one or the other and kind of build up that inspiration for the songwriting part aspect of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm playing piano every day, but sometimes I'm just improvising. Like I'm just playing and I don't know what I'm playing. I'm just playing something. And from that something, maybe it will come like few notes and I would say, oh, I like this. And then I would write that down. So, but I mean, sometimes there are days that, you know, it's great when I can compose every day. I mean, I can, but maybe I wouldn't be like 100% happy with the result. But I mean, improvising on the piano gives me a lot of idea sometimes when I don't know what I'm going to do. sometimes I would already have idea and then I would just write a song. When I'm composing music for different ensembles, it's different. I have like some motive that I'm going to develop, and then the structure of the composition, and it's a different approach. But then at the end, everything goes to the piano. Piano is my big love. I feel complete with my instrument. Like I'm the most present with my instrument.
You're connected with that instrument the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can feel that. I'm connected with the Irish whistle.
You fucked up, man. I love you.
So what we should do right now, since yeah. We're hanging out with you guys and we've talked about you guys a little bit, how about we take a small break and listen to a tune and watch a video?
Sounds awesome.
Sound good? All right, we're going to play you guys a Black Marine and MX the American. This is Call Me Anytime. Stay where you guys are at. This is Spellbound Sessions.
Thank you.
All right, guys, welcome back to Spellbound Sessions. I'm hanging out. We're here with MX the American and Black Marine. And let's just start off with the Davy Crockett hat and the fur jacket. I must have that.
Yeah.
I must have that.
I'm gonna tell you, that came along with the reunification of the band. It's a lot of history behind the band itself. MX the American was labeled as MX before, and Ray will explain to you the difference of the change in names. But I looked at the fact that I was back in the Appalachian, living near the Appalachian Mountains. Now I'm living in the Appalachian Mountains, but Ray at the time is in the heart of the Appalachian Mountains. And I said, well, I want to go with the look. Now, when you were talking about hats earlier, I used to do back when hip hop was new and used to see the fat boys with the coontail cap on or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was always a big thing for me. But I took it a step further once I got out. I wanted a more of the wilderness look with it because it was more natural because I'm a mountain boy now. And so that's where the Davy Crockett, Daniel Boone hat came in, mixed in with the fur, because we put out an album, the release of the album, Appalachian Voodoo Factory.
He's right out of Daniel Boone now.
Daniel Boone, boy, that's a legend around those words.
It is, man.
Yeah. I couldn't think of a better person to want to look like, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, the Appalachian Mountains, yeah.
I used to live out there for a while in the Appalachian Mountains. I lived in Gatlinburg, Tennessee for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Pigeon Forge. And then I worked out to Knoxville area for a while. But I lived out there for like 10 years. Mm. I love the area.
Yeah, we've been there many times. Yeah.
What a fun song, guys. I have to say, what a fun song that one is. And the video was pretty well put together, too, guys. Really?
Yes. And actually, that song right there is nominated for a bunch of stuff right now. So,
well, congratulations.
ISSA Award. I mean, right now, we're waiting on the Josie Awards. But what's the other ones, Marina?
So, Call Me Anytime is nominated as a single of the year.
EMA, right?
For EMA Music Awards in New York. And it's nominated for consideration for Josie Music Awards. So for that,
damn,
one,
guys,
we are waiting June 15th for announcement. We already got like awards, I can say, in March from World Songwriting Association with Call Me Anytime, the winter finalist 10. Top 10. Also, we are nominated as, I didn't write it down, I should write it down, Collaboration of the Year from EMA in New York.
That's for the album there, yeah.
Yeah, for the album too. And then,
and the single.
And the single, yeah. And we as an artist, I think MX the American is nominated in 4 categories for ISSA Awards in Atlanta now in August 22, and I'm nominated in 3 category. And then we are waiting now for Josie Music Awards. So,
congratulations.
I mean, this is like really, really great for us because also it gives us a little bit more exposure for the work that we all put in. And most of this music is actually very suitable for, TV, movies. And so we are also looking for music supervisors. So fingers crossed.
Good job, guys. It's been a busy month for you guys in June, hasn't it?
Yeah. That's been going on now for, I don't know, January, February, yeah. March, April.
Yes,
May.
Since we released Hair Killer, then that was January, then everything started to like roll. Like,
boom.
There is this nomination. There is this award.
The first song done, then the next one, and we started getting those, right? One after another then.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm late on it, but I guess congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm late to the fucking party to everything, apparently, aren't I? Sid's invited, but he ain't going to show up until late.
It take him too long to drive from Peru.
Taking too long coming from Indiana.
Yeah, right, that damn Hoosier.
Them damn Hoosiers. They always say there's more than corn in Indiana. They're lying.
I just need to say for this song, Call Me Anytime, because it was very cold at the time when we were filming. And Melvin had this great idea because he has like two phones, I don't know. So then with one phone, he would film himself on the phone. And then I was like, that's really, really cool idea. So then this is how I filmed myself. So my hand would be frozen while I was filming down there on the street myself. Ray was like standing in front on the ice, like praying.
That's ice. It looks like it's a green screen, but that's pure ice. Yeah.
And the
get
best
the hell out of here.
And the best footage that Melvin sent me is filmed by Marlo M. Free, Mulligan, right? Yes.
Yeah, so, Marlo Mulligan, M3 Productions,
so the,
yeah.
So he was filmed, like, the shot is amazing. Like, you see, like, snow is, like, blowing. So Melvin can say more about that experience. I bet it was really,
Melly D froze his balls off outside is what happened. That's the inside story.
Well, no, actually, it was cool. It was a storm already in town. I mean, in the mountains that time. And I rushed back from Atlanta to get there to shoot the video. So I'm always back and forth, Atlanta to mountains. So we started to film, and I thought it was going to be problems because I figured it would be too cold for them, you know, but they're good at what they do, too. So I was like, well, let's just get the shots, and then we'll just go back in, thaw out a minute, and go back out and get the shots. It's just, what can we mess up? It's just me on the phone. I'm talking to her on the phone. The song is about a phone. And so the name of the song is called Call Me Anytime. So I was like, okay, so we just get the shots. So when we'll go out and shoot, and then boom, the winter hit us hard, and then we come back in, and then we waited to go back out, and then the winter hit us hard again. I was like, that is perfect.
Yeah, because you see a snowball go right by his head where the wind had blown the snow right by his face in the video there. It's funny. It was blowing so hard.
It looked like a fucking blizzard is what it looked like.
And then me and Mel were trying.
7 days.
Me and Mel were trying to film some of that. We were in downtown Atlanta. I know we're in Suwanee or wherever it was, and it was so freezing there. It was just about to blow us down, man.
Oh yeah, that was in Suwanee.
Mel was filming from the North Georgia mountains. I'm filming from West Virginia. And Marina's filming from Vienna, Austria.
One of my favorite actors is from Austria.
Yes.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I loved these. How could you not love Commando or Conan the Barbarian or Terminator?
And not to mention, he was one of the first artists that actually smoked a joint on camera.
Oh, yeah. Pumping Iron. It was
the Olympic pumping iron.
Yep. I remember watching it as a kid. I was, what the hell is he smoking? Ironically enough, we have the same birthday too, July 30th.
Oh wow. Mm-hmm.
You guys ready for some fun questions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you ready? Are you ready, Marina? You ready for a fun question?
I don't have my cowboy hat, but I'm ready.
We'll ask MX the American this one. If your band was stranded on a desert island, who survives the longest?
Me, because I'm fatter.
I would say me because I would survive off of the plants, the plant life.
You're a survivalist. You're an outdoorsman.
Oh, yes.
We'll see Melly D foraging plants and berries and shit out in the forest.
He'd be the first one to die saying he's that guy, and even to pick some poisonous shit.
Yeah,
some poison. Damn. Let me go back again.
I got to poop somewhere. Millie D's taking off of the wood. Taking a crap.
Yeah.
And there's Rad Ray Terrell in the desert. Just sitting there, I'm fat. I'll live long enough. Millie, we're the only one trying to survive. Shit.
No, Mel can handle the heat better than me right now.
We
were filming last weekend, man. We were down in South Carolina filming last weekend. I about died, man. I'm telling you, I'm serious. Mel had to sit me down. He had to sit me back for a while, man, to make sure I was going to be good.
Marina, next one's for you, dear. You ready for this?
Yes.
If your music were a movie, what genre would it be?
Oh, well, that's very easy. That would be like a horror, but like a very, very horror, gothic horror.
But just horror.
Yeah, like horror.
What are your favorite horror movies? Like, do you have like an all-time favorite, or you got a top three, perhaps, maybe?
You know, I was only five when I saw Friday 13.
So that's a good one. Gotta love a good classic slasher.
And I was like, oh my God, what I just saw? I was so small. And then, you know, I think every movie that Christopher Young composed, Christopher Young, film composer, he did Hellraiser.
Hellraiser.
So.
That's another classic one, too.
I love all of his scores. I do enjoy in very good horror stories. Now the new movie Passenger is in the theater, so I had a look at that previous. So it's a very good movie.
That's right. You just went to the movies, didn't you?
Oh yeah.
You watched Disclosure Day, right?
Yes, it was.
Without any spoilers. Without any
spoilers. Don't tell me. Don't tell us. I want to see it.
Was it good?
I'm not going to tell anything.
Because I thought I read online that it's like a sequel to Encounter of the Third Kind, I believe, or something like that.
Close Encounters.
No. I watched the movie. I can say it's a 2.5 hours long, and. John Williams is maybe one of the best composer of all time, American composer. He's 94.
Oh, wow.
And I think we assume this might be his last movie that he scores. We hope not. And together with Steven Spielberg. I mean, the movie was so nicely done that you are like watching, and then there is like that like culmination when that music with that theme starts, and it just got me at that moment, and then everything involves like it's so beautiful. I mean, I cried. It was like the music and the story, it is so beautiful. I mean, you should definitely watch it. I mean,
I'm debating it. I've been hitting all the movies this year so far. I went to watch that. My children, you would think they would want to go see like Moana or some Disney cartoon. Not my kids.
I'm getting pulled on the leg for the same thing for that movie, man, already right now.
They don't want it. They don't want to watch that. They don't want to watch. My kids wanted to go to watch a horror movie. So we end up going watching Backrooms. So that was the start.
That's another one they're yanking on me about, man. That one.
It sucks. It sucks. And then I went to go watch Masters of the Universe. And you can't really see due to the glare, but I spent about $150-$200 on AMC Masters of the Universe collectibles there at the theater.
Yeah,
I got the Skeletor bucket, popcorn bucket, all the cups, and I've been debating about watching Disclosure Day. I have been debating, so I might go watch it. I don't know.
I want to see it. It's a must see.
I'm only going to say this. It's not a spoiler. Like I will say they. So when they find each other, just this is like, just pay attention on the music when they find each other.
That'd be the only reason why I would really now be motivated more so to go watch the movie, because you're familiar with the composer and I have to hear them, because it's the composing and the music and the tone that you hear that really
sets exactly the
movie. You know what I mean?
Sets the scene, yes.
That's the tone for the whole entire movie, that composer. So now I have to go watch it. I'm a movie fan. I'm a movie fanatic. Anyway, let's get back to, let's go MX American. Let's have a little bit with you guys. If you guys could open for any band in history, who would that be?
Dead or alive?
Any band in history.
Dead or alive, history, all time. Like Melly D, let's say you want to, you got invited to some sort of like rap invitational or something like that, and you got to, and if you won, you got to open up for, you know, we're going to let you pick.
How many bands can I pick? Because we can go Linkin Park, we can go
fucking, wouldn't that be huge?
Man. Yeah.
I'm thinking more of the old school rappers, though, man.
Oh, well, but old school, I would say, because I've been alternative for a while, I would say groups like Collective Soul.
Dude, I've seen those guys live before, and they throw a heck of a show.
They right, actually, they lived right down the street from me in Atlanta for a long time.
You too.
Yeah, live in Stockbridge.
You too. What about you, Mr. Terrell?
You too would be a great band, yeah, definitely. Probably Sabbath or, I don't know. I know definitely Ozzy or somebody, but definitely like Hendrix. If we're going to go way back, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Hendrix, for sure. Yeah.
Robin Trower, like I was saying, that's some of my favorites right there. There's a lot of shit. And Bringing It Up, you know, definitely like Stone Temple Pilots or I don't know. I'd love to play with like Smashing Pumpkins or something like that, you know? And because I don't know. I just like a lot of different types. I don't know. It can be, if it's going to be hard rock or whatever, those would be the bands somewhere in there. I mean, like I said, there's a lot of them. Catatonia. Catatonia is probably one of my favorite bands. And that would be an awesome band to play with, man.
What about you, Marina? Is there a certain artist that you just love to open up with at an arena or something like that? You're the opening act for such and such for one night only?
Well, definitely Bjork.
Oh, what a great pick. What a great blend.
Wow.
Yeah. Bjork.
Bjork would be it. I'm down with it. She knows.
If it was us on this album right here, Rob Zombie would be killer. You know what I mean? Because the theme and all that we have, man, you know?
That would fit right like a glove, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. We actually played with it before. That's good.
If it doesn't fit, we'd quit.
That's right. Let me get my glove out. Give me my glove. Give me my damn glove now.
All right, let's do some rapid fire questions, and then we'll end tonight's show.
Okay.
Are you ready? Marina, coffee or energy drinks?
Coffee.
Is there a certain flavor, or are we a Keurig gal, or are you just a regular pot coffee lady?
Oh, I like... You know, when I was in America, like I tried different kind of coffees, and I don't know why some of my friends in America complained that we have like better coffee than you, which is not true. But I do like Nespresso, and then I have it with milk. So when I was in America, I had really great experience with coffee, except one day they
I had a bad experience with coffee once.
Once I had food, they brought me to a diner at Hollywood Boulevard. I didn't know what to expect.
She went to Mel's Diner.
Went to Mel's. Shit.
Yeah. And that's it. Truthfully, it is Mel's Diner, man. Truthfully, it is. Mel's Drive-In.
What was it? Alice? The movie, the TV show Alice, Mel's Diner?
Yeah, but they have, yes. Yes, and they have they have Mel's Diner out there, yes.
Pigeon Forge had one too.
I wanted to try there because I have friends from LA that love coming here, and they always.
I bet it was nasty, wasn't it? And it tasted like motor oil.
I didn't know that in American Diner, they are coming like every 5-10 minutes and
filling your cup up. Yeah.
And
need a refill? Sure. No, stop.
And then it's not even a coffee. It's like a water with a little bit of coffee. And I really wanted to try because I want to have my own experience because people were telling me, and I said, I'm going to order a coffee. And then they told me, just so you know, it's not like what you drink. And I'm like, I'm going to see what it is. And then she was like coming around all the way to me, like giving me coffee. And I'm like, okay.
By the time you're coming out of this cafeteria, you got the jitters, you're shaking.
Yeah.
Don't want to sit still. Yeah, goddamn, ready to start. Give me refills.
It's like, damn, I can't. We need to go. Maybe. We need to leave.
But wait, maybe that's why it's not like that strong, because it's a black coffee, you know. It's only, maybe that's why it's so soft.
I've at my old age, I used to love coffee out the pot, but now I'm a Keurig, man. I like those flavored little fucking coffee pods you can put in the Keurig, and then the like sweet cream creamer or vanilla caramel. Oh yeah
there are different flavors also. With I have a very small espresso machine, so I can make it like, I don't like strong coffee, so then I can adjust to myself. Like,
I can't do strong coffee either. I can't do it either. I don't blame
I
you.
I used to do, but not anymore.
Some people some people like to drink coffee lengthily. You know what I mean? Like during the day. When you drink those damn espressos and shit, hell, you can only get one cup in you. Now you're mad because you're about to shake to death, man. You know.
Waiting for that heart attack. My heart feels like it's going to explode.
As far as me, it wouldn't be either one of them. It'd be sweet tea, probably.
Or if it was you, would you prefer a studio or a live stage?
I like them both, but I'm a studio guy.
You don't like the live stuff?
Oh, no, I love it. You asked me. I got to pick one. And I love both of them. I love both of them, man.
What's your reasoning behind the studio then?
The biggest reason I picked that is because that can last forever. Whereas a show, yeah, so you're creating something that people can forever listen to. You know what I mean? And whereas live, I'm not saying they can't record that, but a lot of times that show is just that show. You know what I mean? And it's done and over. You know, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. That's good to have the good memories, but. I just look at the recording stuff as that way. Everybody can listen to that from now on, you know?
Well, I feel like there may be perhaps a sense of creating some magic in the studio. And everybody knows I'm a hardcore pagan. That's who I am. My background's pagan. So when I look at things, I look at what am I creating with my energy? And yes, live shows, it would be fun. I can agree with you on that. But I think there is something a little bit different when you go into a studio, because you're conjuring something up from the core, and then you're creating this magic, and then it's going to last forever. It's your permanent imprint onto the universe.
And most of the time it's something brand new each time, you know, whereas live show, you're playing the songs over and over and over and over and over. You know what I mean? Which is nothing wrong with that, but
no,
the creative
Melody
part.
Melody, vinyl, or streaming?
Well, you know I'm going to go, coming from an old school, from DJ, I am definitely on vinyl, for sure.
I love vinyl,
it's all
too.
About that wax.
It's
that wax
become very expensive. It's become a very expensive way to listen to music anymore. I've gone shopping. I've bought a few vinyls, and damn, I didn't have to pay $50-$60 for a vinyl from an artist that I can turn around and buy for $20 or something on CD, you know what I mean? So it's a nice, I think it's turned into more of a novelty now, but I'm with you, Melody. I'm a vinyl guy myself.
Sound wise, right, yes. That vinyl.
Streaming definitely has its uses, though. That's what connects you to the world, you know what I mean?
Right.
Vinyl is regional, where streaming is global. And I think that's there's a sense of having that vinyl in your hand that you can't never take away. But if you want to get a broader audience, there's a streaming. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, all these questions are just about.
Yeah, I was just speaking from a DJ perspective, you know, being a DJ for so long. But yeah, of course, you know, streaming is it. It is.
I love vinyl, Melody D. Whether I'm an old school DJ or not, I love vinyl. It just brings me back to a certain point in my life that helps me. And once again, it's magic, right? It's like a time capsule into your past. Mm-hmm. You throw a vinyl in, listen to that scratching sound in the background. Yeah.
Our first two albums with MX was on vinyl.
I love it.
Yeah. That's Marina. Right when their CDs are just about to come in.
Marina.
Yes.
Favorite guilty pleasure song? I like it when they go, I'm challenging you today, Marina. Twice. That's even better. I'm doing my job. Three times.
I love it.
And remember that, Marina? We've had this conversation.
Everybody's got a guilty pleasure song. Melody, what's your guilty pleasure song? Bee Gees, Conway Twitty, some old Dolly Parton. I mean, we got to have a guilty pleasure song that nobody would expect that Melly D would listen to.
So I can't say Prince. I can't say Prince.
That's everybody's guilty pleasure.
Yeah. I would say one of Janet Jackson's seductive songs.
Get it. I can dig that one too.
Yeah.
Pharrell, Marina's got it. Here we go.
Get Low.
There you go. Get Low.
Get Low, Get Low, Get
all
Low.
All my bitches. Yo, yo, all my bitches.
I love that.
They all laugh. Even our friend at the radio station, he played for me because I requested it, and people are like, what?
What the hell?
What's wrong?
It's a good song. It's a good song.
It's a good song. It's a good song.
What's your guilty pleasure song or artist there, Terrell?
Maybe like Temptations, man. You know, I'd really like the hell out of them, even though I like really hardcore stuff. But I came from a bluesy kind of more R&B-ish kind of background, you know, Southern rock, but definitely a lot of R&B and stuff. But I would say them pretty much. Them or Al Green or somebody like that, you know.
Al Green, yeah. Barry White and his little sexy ass deep voice.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Shit, he had that. Yeah, he had a high voice, man. Al Green, yeah.
Some of my guilty pleasures, it's going to be like Dixie Chicks. I got several like Dixie Chicks. I like some of their. I like artists who can sing really well, but in their lyrics, there's meaning and there's substance to their songs. So yeah. Dixie Chicks would be one. Pink, I think a lot
Pink's
of Pink's
got some good
songs,
stuff. Yeah,
some really good stuff. That's a lot of songs just hit you right in the heart, man. You're like, damn, am I going to cry here listening to this song?
Yeah.
All right, so final question and a rapid-fire questions. Marina, what is the most played song on your phone right now?
Well, that's Abnormal Vision.
All right, what about you, Mr. Trey Terrell?
Abnormal Vision.
Abnormal Vision. Melly D, what's the most played tune on your phone?
Stealth, Take It to the Castle, No Hassle.
Abby, yeah.
One last thing for you guys. When people listen to your music 20 years from now, what do you hope they remember about what you guys are doing?
How sexy Marina was.
How sexy you are when you're doing it. You know?
How sexy Marina is. They look at her. God almighty, no. Yo, yo.
Yo, yo, my bitches.
Yeah.
So that's your answer, is how sexy Marina looks 20 years from now?
No, no, no. I want them to know that. I mean, you know, first of all, we wasn't AI. It all came from our heads and not a computer head. And, you know, we worked hard to make those sounds happen to get through.
And create create that genre. Like,
and creativity. So we hope that they're still listening to it then.
Maria, yeah, what do you hope?
Well, we all composed by ourselves, did everything by ourselves, and 20 years from now, I mean, God knows. I mean, this is like, I have no idea. I mean, this is like really, really something. It is a different music, definitely. It doesn't sound like anything today. So, definitely original. It doesn't matter, even 20 years from now, it will still be probably a masterpiece original album.
Yes.
You know what I think?
I just hope it will happen much earlier, not 20 years from now.
You know what I think about this collaboration? Is that I think 20 years from now, people are going to look back at this collaboration as something that is very unique. Three people from three different walks of life coming together, three different backgrounds coming together and creating this music, this magic from a distance. Yes. I mean, none of you guys are together. You guys are not walking distance or driving distance per se to each other. But you guys are coming together and collaborating and creating this music that I don't think nobody's ever heard before. So I think 20 years from now, people are going to see the most is how you guys all three came together and created something special within the music that you guys are creating now today. That's what I think we're going to see.
They're going to think that this is that was the first band in that new genre, new gothic level, and those were the real Three Musketeers.
Absolutely.
That's what they're going to be thinking. And plus, also that, yeah, the Three Musketeers, but we have actually five because we got two in the background there. We got Dave Mulazzi on drums and engineering, and then we got Richard James Dobbs on lead guitar. Also, he's in California. See, he's in California, and Dave's in Georgia. So there's a lot of, like you said, from all different areas and stuff.
It's amazing that you guys are able to come together. I'm old school. I'm an older fellow. I'm in my 50s. So to have this technology that we have today to where we're able to connect, like you guys have done, and connecting with each other and creating stuff, I think is just absolutely just beyond fucking amazing. And I wish you guys all three of you guys, much success in this collaboration and what you guys do solo as well. And I want to thank you, all three of you guys, so very much for taking the time out of your afternoon. I know it's hot where you and Ray are at, and I'm sure Marina's like me. We're in the air conditioning, enjoying the air conditioning.
It's all good. Red,
You hillbillies can have that heat. We're going to keep that. We're going to keep that air conditioner. We're going to keep that air. But once again, thank you guys for hanging out with me on Spellbound Sessions. And one last thing. Can you guys look into the camera and say you guys are listening to WRRZ Wizard Rock Radio?
You guys are listening to WRRZ Wizard Rock Radio.
I love the continuity. It's great. Thank you guys for hanging out with us, and thank you guys who all was tuning in to another episode of Spellbound Sessions. We thank you guys too, and thank you guys all for the support you guys are showing myself and the radio stations. Be sure to follow MX the American and Black Marina. They are WRRZ, Wizard Rock Radio's Artists of the Month. Until next
Wizard
time,
Wizard Rock
guys,
Radio!
Radio. Until next time, be safe, be well, and take care of one another. We're going to leave you with one last song. This is Abby Normal. Did I say it right this time?
You said it.
Yes.
Abby Normal Vision. All right, guys. Have a great time, and we'll catch you next week.
Right on, brother. Yeah. Been awesome. Right. Thank you. Man.
One more time, take them back to the last line. So here's the agent to the next line.